All right. Turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 22 tonight. Just going to talk for just a few minutes here about something. Probably heard it talked about before, but just a very simple little thought that bears looking at just for a few minutes here. It's a phrase, Ezekiel chapter 22. Be in verse 30. I'm going to jump around a little bit, but that's our main reference for tonight. And I'll tell you where it's going to be at later on. I'm going to talk about standing in the gap tonight, filling the gaps. It's something that it's one of those cliche things that you hear in Baptist churches. I've heard it all my life. You know, stand in the gap, stand in the gap. Somebody to fill the gap, you know. And, you know, it's funny how little phrases like that get coined through the years. Like, people will reach out and latch on to these little, nowadays they call them, in politics, they call them buzz phrases or buzzwords, you know. And it's those things that invoke a bunch of conversation. You can say one little phrase and it'll provoke a big conversation or a big, debate on a certain topic or another. And this has been talked about a whole bunch, standing in the gap. So let's read the verse there. It's Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. The Bible says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land." This is God talking. "That I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." You know, when you think about standing in the gap or filling a gap, I don't know, I do a lot of stuff. I've always built houses and I've been pretty handy and did all kinds of different things through the years. So for a lot of years, I was a trim carpenter. I built houses, but one of my things that I did specifically was I did the finish work, trim work. And when you're doing that kind of stuff, there's a lot of times where there's a lot of caulk involved. If you're a real good trim carpenter, or if your framers have been good carpenters, you don't have as much of a caulking situation to have to take care of. But if things ain't square and there's a lot of caulk involved sometimes, and it's for filling the gaps. There's a lot of examples that you can give if you look through the different things in life about filling a gap. There's some more that I want to read here. There's two places in Ezekiel where it talks about the same thing. He talks about, all right, in chapter 13, he talks about the same thing he talks about in chapter 22. And Ezekiel is God speaking through the prophet Ezekiel to the children of Israel. I'm going to read this in chapter 13 and in verse 10. I'm just going to read down through verse 16 real quick. The Lord said to them through Ezekiel, starting in verse 10, it says, because they have seduced my people. Now he's talking about the prophets of that day. So I want to put this out there in context of what we're talking about this fill in the gap, or this, what we're going to read about, the daubing. Anybody know what daubing is? It's kind of like caulk. We call, the only thing we know about that word daubing is a mud dauber. Yeah. They daub mud all over everything. I mean everything. If they can find, I never have understood why they find a little bitty hole and they'll poke it full of mud and other debris. But this is what he's talking about. Because they have seduced my people, saying, "Peace," and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar that it shall fall. You better tell them it's going to fall down. there shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, Where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury. And there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall. And ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, The wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. To wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. He said, who I'm talking about is these prophets that are telling you everything is okay when it's not. I seen a thing there on Facebook today, somebody rejoicing to be living in this great time of God moving, when you've got some CMT award winner country music singer leading them all in prayer down there. You got Justin Bieber leading worship services somewhere. You got Kanye West that's done changed everything about his life, and now he's a great man of God. And somebody else there they mentioned it was just, I mean, they're turning the world upside down. What a wonderful time to be living in. Well, that's what was going on in this time too. And what Ezekiel was trying to tell these people, that he said, listen, God is trying to tell y'all that this daubing that you're daubing your wall together with is not going to hold up when the water comes. I was talking about it earlier with them, but you know, there's a lot of things that back in years gone by they've used for different things. You know, when Moses, when his mother put him in that little basket of bulrushes, you remember that story? And she daubed it with pitch inside and out. That means she put this stuff on there to seal up the cracks in it so it would float and it wouldn't sink. Back in the day when they used to make boats out of wood, they would take and make these boats. Well, obviously there's boards and there's cracks between them and it's going to leak. Well, what they would do is they would daub it real good with pitch and stuff between these cracks. Then they'd shove it out in the water. Well, it was going to leak because even that didn't seal it up. They'd sink it in shallow water and let it sit there until the wood soaked up enough water to swell up. And it would swell those cracks shut with that daubing between that pitch between the cracks. And it would mash together and it would seal. That's why back in the days of sailing ships and things like that, every year they'd drag them out, or every so often they'd have to drag them up on the land, let them dry out, let the cracks open up. And then they'd clean it off and they'd re-chink all the cracks and re-daub it, totally cover it up again, and then put her out in shallow water until it swelled up enough to where they could sail again. And they had to do it ever so often because the stuff that they were using, it wasn't a very good quality. It's what they had available. I've read about the pioneers when they'd go out west years and years ago, the wagon train, something, they'd go out there and they'd homestead and settle. And I think I even read it in the Laura Ingalls Wilder books, how that they knew it was going to be a permanent place when they would finally build a hearth and a fireplace and the chimney out of stones and use mortar. Because if it was just going to be a temporary thing, they would build it out of mud. They'd take logs and build the chimney, but they would cover them in a real thick layer of mud from the creek. Because once it got hot, it would temper it and it would be hard, but it didn't last forever. Now, you've heard of them chinking the cracks in a cabin with mud and straw. You remember, you've heard of people doing that, where they take mix mud and straw together and build a log cabin, and they chink between the logs with that mud to keep the wind out. But every year they'd have to do it again, because when the rain and everything would come on the outside, it'd wash that out between them logs. It'd wash that out. Why? Because it was untempered daubing, if you want to call it that. That's what the Bible's talking about here. They were putting something in that gap, but it wasn't the right thing to put in there. It wasn't tempered. And so ever so often they'd have to redo it. They'd have to go back and do it again because it didn't last. It wasn't good. Now, as time went by and things have changed, they've come out with mortar that you put in them cracks and it gets hard and then it don't ever come out. And you don't have to do it so often. But they didn't have that back then. And really, the whole thing I'm talking about tonight is this. There in chapter 22 where he says the Lord was looking for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap. Has anybody, I know some of y'all have read a bunch about World War II and looked at a lot of that stuff. When they landed and started going through France, you remember right after Normandy, they had a really hard time in the hedgerows of France. You ever heard or read anything about that? That was a really bad time for them, you know, the Allies trying to get into France and how the Germans had set up in them hedgerows, machine guns and everything else. Basically, the hedgerows were like fences. They were living fences. They'd been growing there for years and years and years, and they'd cultivated them to separate the property boundaries and stuff, and it was just a thick, really almost impenetrable little section of brush, like it was a hedgerow. And, you know, it offered a lot of cover for the enemy to hide in, to shoot them from. And then there was no way to really get through them with their equipment. I mean, the tanks could just barely get through them. They were really impenetrable. It was something that they didn't factor in having to deal with, and it was a real challenge to overcome. The hedge was a really formidable thing. And so if there's a hole in the hedge, then it's breached. You understand what I'm saying? They used them to keep their cattle in and their sheep in and to keep the wolves and all the predators out. And our lives are a whole lot the same way. You know, we pray that the Lord build a hedge of protection. He talks about that and everything. And a lot of times we are the gatekeeper of the hedge of protecting our family and our kids and everything else. And if there's a hole in it, you got a problem. And, you know, there's all kinds of substitutes for things to fill that gap. There's a lot of things that we can let into our life that make us think we're filling the gap when we're not. You know, just like there was a lot of things to daub that wall with he was talking about here that looked like it was going to do the job until it didn't do the job. And, you know, what the Lord was looking for here when he was talking to these people was just one man. He said, I looked for a man, somebody that would just be faithful, somebody that wouldn't leave his post, somebody that found a hole in the hedge and said, I can't leave here. If I leave, everything's exposed. You know, I mean, here's a problem and I must stay here and do something about it. And he couldn't find one person that would do that in Israel during this time. And so the next thing that came was judgment. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we do as we go through life that seem really mundane. As far as our service, you know, living as a Christian, you ever feel like the things that you do don't really amount to a hill of beans? They don't feel like they're doing much good? You're faithful and you dress right and you try to live a sanctified life and become more like Christ and find things to weed out of your life to make you be able to walk closer with the Lord, and nobody seems to really care. You know, you don't, you see people and they've been faithful for years and years and they've raised their kids in church, and you see their kids grow up and walk away from it and don't seem to really care. You go to work and you try to be a witness to the people there, and they might even show a little interest or whatever, but you can't never get them to come to church. And the only time they ever really seem to show an interest in you or what you believe is if they have a problem and they need you to pray for them or something. But other than that, they don't really even care. You dress right and you bear the scorn and the ridicule for that and just don't seem to really be doing much good. Well, I bet old Ezekiel felt that way back in the day he lived in too. Because it wasn't doing no good. The only person that really paid much attention to the fact that he was standing was God. Because he pretty much was about the only guy, it seemed. Because the Lord said, I looked for a man. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me in the land, that I should not destroy it. And I found none. I found none. Here's the deal. Even if your task that you have to do in life, whether it's, it don't matter the season that you're in, whether you're just starting out, or whether you're in the middle of it, or whether you're at the end of it, or whether you have a position of leadership, or you're just a nobody in the kingdom of God, or in your life, in your social circle, or whatever. Living for God and doing what's right never is meaningless. And the Lord's watching. And whether you feel like you're doing anything very important or not, whether it's, you know, just being the only guy at work that don't cuss, or whether it's being the only person that you know that stays home with her kids, or whether you're the only person that you know that, I don't know, don't paint your face up like a harlot every time you leave the house, or whether you just feel like you don't have anything to give anymore. Or you feel like you got a lot to give and nobody wants to hear it. Don't despair. Because God wants you to be the person standing in the gap. He, you know, this man that finds the gap in the hedge, it was his, you know, it was the Lord's will for him to find it. You know, and it's his will for you to do something about it. If you're the one that finds the hole in the fence, you ought to stand there and do something about it and try to fix it. And at least be what keeps the wolf from coming in through that hole. You know, you leave your post because it's no fun standing in the gap. Or you don't feel like it's really doing any good anyway. And something bad happens, it's going to be right there where it happened. You're going to wish you'd stayed in your spot. The Lord sends things along like that. I don't know. There's times when things just don't seem to work out the way we plan for them to, but there's reason for it. And, you know, sometimes I wonder what in the world the Lord is trying to do in my life with the things that he sends along, or the circumstances, or the lack of circumstances. Sometimes I just feel like I exist, you know, and there's not a lot. I get up, I work, I make money, I pay my bills, I go to sleep, I wake up, I go to work, I make money, pay my bills, go to work, and just it's the same thing over and over. Well, so does everybody else. But those things are the kind of the stuff that you're supposed to kind of do on autopilot, so to speak, in this life. It's not really what life's about. There's somebody somewhere that's watching you that you probably don't even know about, and you're filling the gap in their life. And whether you know it or not, we've talked about it before, even on social media, the things you'll post on there sometimes are, you know, and that's what I was talking to the kids the other morning about, how I hate social media and how it's just kind of commandeered all of our lives in some way or another. But I like to look at it for the sole purpose of seeing people's true colors, in the sense of what they like and what they dislike. So if somebody posts something, I'm like, man, that's the goofiest thing I ever seen. I'll go to see who liked it. And if somebody posts something, you know, it's telling. It's pretty eye-opening when you start looking at who likes what. And, you know, this matter of, you know, there's people watching you that you don't know. Whether it's on social media, or whether it's somebody at work, or whether it's somebody that you run into in the store every once in a while, or somebody that, I don't know, even in, like, in my business or whatever, there's people that come in and out. There's people that come and they act like they know me way better than I do them. I guess because they follow my page or whatever it is. But they'll show up and they act like we've just been friends for years. And they bought something from me like 6 years ago. And I don't even remember them. But see, they're watching. They're watching me. And if all they ever see is just what I put on social media, Just think of how important just that one little thing is. You know, you see people that'll share something every once in a while, and the origin of where that thing came from will have a dirty word in it or something. And it sometimes you'll see it come from somebody and you think, well, what in the world are they posting that for? Well, it's important because there's people watching that are expecting a certain thing from you because of your testimony. Because of the fact that you've been standing in that gap for so long. You've been filling the hedge, making up the hedge. You know? There's a lot of people that turn around and walk away because they don't think that anybody cares. They don't think God cares. And they don't think what they're doing is important. But anything that you're doing for the kingdom of God or for righteousness' sake is as important as anything that's ever been done for it. Whether you feel that it's important or not. And so all I'm really trying to say this evening is to just not become discouraged. Don't be weary in well-doing. The Lord is always looking for a man or a woman or a boy or a girl that'll stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And, you know, stand in that gap for Him, for the land, for your country, for your church, for your family, for righteousness' sake. If you're not the light, then who's going to be? If you're not standing in the gap, who's going to be? You know, Uncle David was over the other night talking about that boy that we know that cuts logs and stuff, and what a sad situation that is. Fella that, you know, is just, he's on drugs and he's got problems. He didn't used to be, and all of us in here knew him when he wasn't. And now he is. And it's just a sad, desperate situation that he's brought on himself, and nobody can help him with it but him. And you just got to stand back and watch him crash and burn and probably burn up. But what if you just said, well, he ain't worth saving. He's too far gone, and just forget about him. Nah, you may be the only thing standing in the gap between him and total, utter destruction and hell for eternity. I think we've forgotten a whole lot about the fact that people do spend eternity in hell. They're lost forevermore. People that we love. People that we talk to every day. There's people that used to come to my... I know, Kim, you might have heard me, y'all might have heard me say it here, but in the last year and a half or so, we got a big mirror in our bedroom. It's got a piece of trim that goes all the way around it. And I've just been doing this, I don't know. But the little paper you get at the funeral of someone that you know, the little obituary in the paper with their picture on it, you know. And when we go to one, I've been taking and just sticking them in the trim around that mirror. And every day when I get up, I look at those people. Some of them I know. I knew real well and I loved them. And I miss them. And some of them were just acquaintances of mine. Some of them I know died and went to hell. And I talked to them pretty regular. Tried to talk to them about the Lord. I didn't want much to do with it. But it was my duty. God put me, that was the gap that God put me at. Even down there at my shop where I don't hardly see nobody, He put them there. And I was the person to stand in the gap for them. Sometimes it don't work. But my duty before God is to fill the gap, to make up the hedge. You know, and if you can be instrumental in influencing one person to not go over the edge into the abyss, then that's what God wants us to do. You know, some people, you heard Dad talk about it here the other day when he was preaching about some vessels unto honor and some not. But it don't matter. They're all vessels made by the same potter, see? And they're all just as important as the other. He put just as much work into one for dishonor as He did to one for honor. And it ain't about what you're supposed to be. It's just about filling the gap. Being what God wants you to be. Don't despair in what He's given you to do. The job will change. It eventually does. Think about the seasons of life you go through. These kids here are in different seasons of life right now than y'all are. And we're in a different season of life than y'all are. But Grandpa's in a different season of life than any of us is. And we're all in different stages. And the job changes. The scenarios, the scenery changes. And The only thing that the Lord requires and asks of us is to just be that person that stands in the gap and makes up the hedge. Don't leave your spot. Be there and do what God wants you to do right now. And tomorrow, get up and do it again. And if it changes a little bit, be there in that spot anyway and keep doing what He wants you to do. Don't leave your spot. You know, you ever watch these kids play t-ball and stuff, and it's hilarious because they don't understand the concept of the game. And I think that's what all t-ball is really for, is just for the amusement of the parents. They say, oh, it helps build character in the kid and it teaches them that blah, blah, blah. No, it ain't. It's comedy. It's cheap comedy for the parents. It's because you have them standing on, here's first base and he's putting dirt on his head and he's looking at the outfield. Second base, he's relieving himself facing the outfield. And third base over here's got his glove on his head doing circles, spinning in circles. And yeah, you know, the hitter finally hits the ball and runs to third base and keeps right on running, right on it. It's hilarious. None of them are filling their spot very well. They don't understand. But it's another thing when you see somebody not be where they're supposed to be. You ever watch a baseball game where shortstop catches the grounder and slings it at first base, and first base just happened to not be looking right at that moment and miss it? Yep. And it's gone. And that's a home run right there is what that is, because it's gone. Too late. He wasn't in his spot. And that's just a ball game where the stakes is nothing. What about someone's eternal destination? What about one of these kids that are on the brink of making a choice that's going to alter their life forever? And you're the person that God's put in that gap for them to persuade them not to do, to influence them to not do that. And you walk away from your post and you're not there when they're faced with that and they walk right off in it. I believe the Lord's going to reveal to us someday the times that we have been effective in that we didn't know about in helping someone not make a bad choice. And He's also going to show us the ones that we failed because we abandoned our post. We didn't fill the gap no more. We decided it wasn't important. And that it wasn't doing any good anyway, and nobody cared, and it wasn't doing, you know, you had better things to do with your time, or you thought you'd fixed the fence. You thought you'd daubed that full of daubing and the crack was shut. But you'd got your daubing from the wrong place. You'd got it from the world's philosophy. You'd got it from walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And they said, look, if you'll just do this, then you can go do something else and everything will be fine. Kind of like that fence of that guy that we know that has cows, our friend. I went up there one day and he said, try to keep them down on this end. The fence up there is kind of in bad shape. And I went up there and there was a hole in the fence and he had an old rusted out deep freezer sitting in the hole in the fence, filling the gap. That was literally how he fixed the fence. He took an old broken appliance and set it in the hole to kind of deter them from running through that hole. Yeah. He daubed it full of something that wasn't very tempered. Wasn't going to work real well. And it's funny, but boy, people do that with the world's advice. When you go to people who do not regard God in any of their ways, and you ask them for advice on what to do with your children, you're a fool. And you're going to get bad counsel. You're going to get daubing to daub your wall and build your wall with. The mortar you're building your wall with here ain't going to hold up when the water comes. You know, I feel a whole lot different about stuff nowadays than I did when I was younger and when we were just having kids and everything. But that's what I told somebody the other day. The way that things have become so polarized between right and wrong. It's not just a preference or a moral. It's a moral polarization. And, you know, like doctors, when we was having our kids, I told her, I said, if we was having kids now, I don't know how we'd find a doctor. Because the first question I would ask, even a baby doctor, going to the doctor because you're going to have a kid, I'd ask them, do you believe in abortion in any circumstance? Would you be for it? And if they would even dance around the idea that they wouldn't be my doctor. I don't care who recommended them. But I don't know if anybody asked that question. I don't know. You got to be careful the mortar you're putting your wall together with. You'll find yourself in a compromised situation. He said there, he said, when the water comes, it's going to wash the wall down and the daubing. And I'm going to reveal the foundation you built it on, that it was not put together right either. Then I'm going to wash it away, and I'm going to wash away the person who built it too. So this bears a little bit of attention. You know, filling the gap is an important job, but what you do it with is even more important. Because please understand that there will come a day when the mortar in your wall is going to get tested. Whether it and look, it's like this. How do you temper steel? We've been talking about it in Sunday school for the last month. How do you temper steel? You put it in the fire. You take soft, mild steel and you put it in the fire, and then you quench it in oil, and then you put it back in the fire, and then you quench it in oil. It goes through an awful, awful thing to become hardened. You know, mortar, you know, the concrete that we use. I mean, do you know, have you ever heard, has anybody in here ever been messed with concrete much, or been around somebody that pours concrete? All right. You ever heard the guy doing the concrete ask the guy that brought it, how hot is it? You ever heard him say that? He's asking how much actual cement is in there, because there's a chemical reaction that happens when they combine water with cement and all those other products, and it actually creates heat, and the chemical reaction is what makes it get hard. Ironic, ain't it, that heat, even though it's not hot to the touch, is actually what's making that get hard too. And it's the same way you're going to get tempered. Your daubing, you're putting your wall together with, that's how it's going to get tempered too. Through trials, through the fire, through hard things. Things that you don't think you're going to be able to do. And that's how you're going to learn that you can do it. And that's how you're going to learn that your wall's put together with something worth being put together with. If it starts to crumble, you better check and see where you've been getting your mortar from. Because the stuff that comes from the Lord to put together your life with, it won't fail when the storms come. Fill the gap. That's what he wants from us. Somebody to stand in the gap and to not leave their post, to use the right stuff. You know, there'll come a day when it'll all be over, and, you know, we'll give account and we'll receive. He said he's going to try by fire all our works. And whatever survives the fire is what we'll get to give to him. And everything that was wood, hay, and stubble, you know, that stuff they used to fill the cracks with in the cabin or build the chimney with in the cabin, that's all going to burn up and blow away. Gold, silver, and precious stones, all that's going to be left. And so just don't leave your spot. Do what the Lord has given you to do today. Tomorrow might be something different, so do that tomorrow. And stay close to the Lord. And don't give up and don't be discouraged, because it's a lot bigger than just the calamities that are happening today. It's a lot bigger than that. Amen? That's it.